It's been a quiet start. I blame me. You probably do too. But that's okay, because it's about to get much better. Because what I'm going to do for you guys is I'm going to bring out the people that I actually think you should go and see in this festival. They've all got amazing shows, and they're going to give you a little sample of who they are, what they do, and then you can make up your own mind. So, let's get things started with our first guest, Miss Annie Louie!
Last time I went traveling, I went to Japan. That's my horns. What the hell is that shit, right? Lift your game. And office shits, they are the worst. I work 9 to 5 in an office, and the last time I had a horrible experience with a woman, I was in there, I ran out of toilet paper, so I thought, I'm just going to wait for this lady to finish. She's going to save me. And so I waited, and then I asked politely, can I have some toilet paper? I've run out. And she goes, she's in the other cubicle, and she says, yeah, sure, once I'm done. Once you're done, you are done, I heard you, I waited, man. And I thought, I recognise that voice. It's Gab from HR! Gab from HR made me wait 10 minutes while she took a shit. She knew I was there. That's the thing that really kills me. She knew that I was there, and we could have resolved this whole thing if she'd just given me the toilet paper and we moved on with our lives. But that is not how it happened. Mm-mm. And so when I went to Japan, I also love this other thing called onsens. They're hot spring spas that you can sit in. And I was there with my ex, and they make you sit in separate rooms. And there was a partition, so we're gender segregated. You're fully naked. And we spotted this thing on the side of the pool. And I said, oh, I think it's an exfoliator. Let's give it a crack. So we grabbed it. And I was like, yeah, give it a try. It's fantastic. I was scrubbing away. So much dead skin came off my body. I was like, this is fantastic. And he was like, yeah, it's so good. All right, cool. So we left. We came out. And I looked at him. And I was like, holy shit, you are so red. And he looked at me. And he was like, no, holy shit, you're so red. And we looked at each other. And we were like, what have we done? And then we both looked over at the paddle that was beside the pool, and we're like, oh my god, it's a foot file. We've braided our skins off with a foot file, and we were in separate rooms. Like, that's the thing that's like, oh my god. We were 23 years old, neither of us had ever seen a foot file in our lives. It was just like a partition as well. Like, the same thing happened to us in separate rooms. Like, it's just like dumb and dumber. He learned Spanish, so I followed him around the world to visit him. And while I was there, I decided to kill time by taking a Spanish class. And in the first class, we had to learn about countries. So we were listing random countries, and the teacher would put them on the board. And when it came to saying what country we were really from, I said Australia. And the teacher thought I was still listing random countries. She tried to correct me. She's like, Gina! I met a girl in a bar at Amsterdam, and I asked her where she was from, and she said she was from China. I said, no way, you're Chinese, I'm Chinese. And then I said something that shocked even me. I said, but your English is so good. And I don't know, if you're an ethnic person in the crowd today, this question is for you. Have you ever felt so Australian that you accidentally do a 360 and become a full-blown racist? I came back from travelling and I had to work a lot of different terrible jobs to make up the money. One of them was at a hotel, and at the hotel, this one shift was so bad. A girl threw up at the table while we were serving dessert. Just didn't tell anyone, just bleh! And everyone else was so off their face, they just ate around her. And that doesn't compare to the stories that my sister has from working at Macca's in the roughest part of Melbourne. I was like, you must have some stories, man. What's the worst shift you've ever done? And she said, oh, by far it was that time that I had to scrub feces out of the bathroom sink with my bare hands. And I was like, whoa, how did you do it? She said, oh, it's very easy, very scientific. What happens is you put on some gloves, you start scrubbing, and then soon enough, your soul leaves your body. It's as easy as that. I'll leave you on this one. I'm 24 years old, but haven't done anything rebellious in my life, pretty much, except for the time I ran away from ticket inspectors in Melbourne. And this is a true story. After a shift at the hotel, I thought it wasn't even worth paying for, so I just decided to bear away. And I sat down, didn't have a ticket, and of course that one time you don't have a ticket is when they come, right? So this plainclothes ticket inspector rolls up, and she says, hey, where's the ticket? I'll just do that thing where I'm like, sorry, this is my stuff, gotta go, bye. No, she didn't have it. She was serious. She was so serious. She threw her arm against the wall of the tram. And this is when I did the most rebellious thing I've ever done in my life. I ducked under her arm. Whoa. I was like running down the hallway of the tram. Because of my goody two shoes, I still thank the driver. Thank you. And then I ran on my way home. all the way home, I was going to tell my dad this story, and he was going to be so impressed, you know, I was such a rebel. And I told him the story. He didn't react at all. All he said was, when I was your age, I was running away from the Japanese. It was wartime. All right, fine, Dad. Another terrible thing that happened to me was I parked my bike at the station, and somebody vandalized it. They threw it halfway up a pole and took the seat off. It made no sense. And I called my dad about it, and I was in tears. I was like, Dad, they vandalized my bike. And he had no reaction. All he said was, I used to have a bike. I had to give it up, because it was wartime. Screw you, Dad. Never impressed. Thanks for having me. I'm Abby Chloe. Thank you so much.
Abby Chloe, ladies and gentlemen.
Because here's lovelier by comparison. I love when people go, oh, Northbridge is rough. You have I've seen fucking nothing. Like, yeah, I've seen nothing compared to Socky Hall Street in Glasgow. If any Scottish people in, that reference was pointless. Good. I like how my level of hubris there was to go, let's see if I mention a really obtuse Scottish reference and anyone goes, hooray, I'm here. Yeah, because it's not... it doesn't work unless it's Scottish people. Fuck that. Yeah, it's like one of those things where you've just got like two people that it works for. It's my ideal form of comedy. So yeah, because I've got the weird name of Struan. It's like a very odd Scottish name. Like, and I grew up in like small town Scotland, near Glasgow. I grew up in like half an hour outside Glasgow. Proper shit, nothing going for it. Basically, if you guys want a reference, think of like Rockingham level shit. Like, that's where I grew up, right? And even worse, I grew up in a farming background, and that's why I got my name of Struan. Because my dad, that's how old school it is, my dad's called John, his dad's called John, and then his dad was called John. So my dad rebelled by calling me Struan, but not too much, because my middle name is John. Like, and I've lived out here before. Like, I lived here on the working holiday visa for a year, and I got what you guys call the RSA certificate. Holy shit, that thing is a bag of dicks, isn't it? Like, it's the most ridiculous course you could spend your time doing, because they're so obsessed here with avoiding binge drinking, or as we call it in Scotland, life. But you get this course, you spend $40 and 4 hours of your time, then you're given a quiz at the fucking end of it, and it's stupidly patronising on one, apart from one question. Which one of these things counts as binge drinking? A. Someone drinking large quantities of alcohol in quick succession. B. Someone on a family function. Or C. Someone on a blind date. Right, I'm glad you guys are with me, because that sometimes I sound horrendously Scottish when I say the only correct answer is all of the above. Or when it comes to family functions, awkward Christmas. The other thing as well is working as a bartender here is fucking lush. Does anyone do that here? Or anyone done that recently? No, of course not. It's the day on a Saturday. Of course no one's bartended before. Oh, I'm going to do my shift at 5. Let's go see a comedy show quickly. No, that never happens. Bartenders never venture out into the light. They're basically vampire people. But what happens is, like, working as a bartender here is the best place you will ever work as a bartender. Perth is pretty damn good. Anywhere in Australia is still fantastic for it. Because here, you've got unions. So that means you get paid heaps for being a bartender, means you get loads of money for, like, basically doing the same job you did in the UK. You get double what you get here, because the hospitality union protects you. And those people are my heroes. I would happily give any of them more head than a pint of Pilsner, right? And whatever gender, I will go for any just as a thank you. But what that meant was that I got paid $20-odd here, and I was living here for a year on the working holiday visa. So I wanted to live cheap, because I wanted to go back home via Southeast Asia and do some travel and go to other places. And obviously here's quite expensive, but there's one thing that is cheap in Australia, and that is Domino's pizza. Here they're $5. In the UK, they cost £15. And I know, right? You're going, why? They're so shit! But that meant work as a bartender here, my salary became 4 pizzas per hour. Whereas the UK, I worked as a bartender there for 6 months to come back out here, and I had to work 2 hours to earn one fucking pizza. So I've done some number crunching on this, or as I've been calling it, number crunching. What the fuck, I just left my notepad behind. 2 seconds! Fucking professionalism, guys! See, Matt's such a doll, right? He just grabbed that and went, fucking, just get all of your fucking jobs doing. I mean, you say job, you're not being paid for this gig. And I miss off. I've got, if I win the game, I give away 2 free tickets. That's not a prize, that's you guys winning overall. But that meant, like, basically, when I was saying this before, in my salary of working here as a bartender, that meant my first week of working in Australia was 152 Domino's pizzas compared to 19 back in the motherland. Which, you guys are smart, breaking down those numbers, that's not even 3 meals a day for a week in the UK. Whereas in Australia, I could feed a family of 7 on Domino's pizza and still spare pepperonis for the dog. And I don't mean pepperoni slices, I mean pepperoni fucking pizzas, right? After a month, 608 Domino's pizzas to 76. If I spend that entire year living and working and spending every goddamn penny of that on Domino's Pizza, that's 7,904 pizzas to 988 back here. Which at that point, I'm back in the UK, which at that point I'm just getting my pizzas to homeless people, helping the community, used to distract iced up junkies on the bus, anything you can to do your little bit. And that is a ratio, guys, of 8 to 1, or 88% to 12%. So if you've ever met British people and don't understand why they're so goddamn miserable, these are the stats to back it up! And I know some of you start on site, that's right, so everyone's straight, this is a stupid idea. Like, this is ridiculous. Eating Domino's pizza for an entire year, how do you get your vitamins and minerals the entire time? Easy answer that, guys, ham and pineapple. Aloha! And also, some of you are going, I just don't give a shit, right? I've done that before. Like, I did this gig in Glasgow, right? Where this guy just always comparing the price of pizza and things and didn't get it at all. So he just shouts out supermarket brands. After his arms are folded, and just shouts out, all these Belgian pizzas, £2.95, you cunt. And some of you might also be going, I want to laugh, it's a comedy show. I don't want to hear about economics, I don't want to count, I'm just here to have fun. That's fine, if you're that type of person, no judgment whatsoever, because I've got one more thing for you. There's actually nothing written down on this piece of paper. Just drawn out a bar chart to show the difference. And then 2 pages there, I've got one more. I've drawn out a pie chart, or as I've got it, a motherfucking pizza chart. I love how you clapped, and the rest of you went, nah, get fucked. Which is basically the closest to how hot this place is. It's basically a standing ovation in Australia. And the fun thing is, I really enjoy doing that bit, because it's my favourite bit, to be honest, just to be able to watch people either enjoy it or just look at me in confusion the entire time. The also reason why I found it quite funny is because 2 days ago, I got recognised in a Domino's pizza. And that's my set, guys. I've been Shalogan. Cheers. Bye. You might come with me. Yeah, I know that much.
You're lying.
Alright, Stuart.
Right.
What's the story? What are we doing?
Let's talk about your show.
Okay, I'm cool.
So, what's the name of your show?
Stuart Logan, Stuart all over the world. Do we stand apart like this? Do we at least take up some of the space on the stage? Because as comedians, I feel like we should use at least some of the space, because you know, improv troops just fucking hog the entire thing.
There's an intro improv troop on before this.
Fucking pricks, aren't they improv?
So not only did they take up the whole stage, but the first two rows of chairs were moved.
like expanded out into the audience.
I don't think you guys get how horrible improv groups are, right? So they're the bane of every festival, because it's like that thing of going, oh, give me a suggestion. What, did you say flower shop? No. It's flower shop, right? Let's do a sketch about flower shop. Oh, flowers are nice, aren't they? And scene. That is an improv show every fucking time, right? And I'm not just bitter. Well, yeah. But an improv troupe stole my audience the first ever show I did at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, right? So that's why.
You have to tell me that story. Why?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you this.
Audience, would they come in mid-show?
Well, generally, like,
get them out like a Pied Piper with their whimsical suggestions?
No, not even that. It wasn't even that clever. That's the worst part. Has anyone been to Edinburgh Fringe Festival before? Or has been to any other Fringe Festival outside of here? It's not like here where it's relatively professional. Where at least you've got rooms like this, they're probably set up for comedy. When you first did it in the Fringe Festival, there's like 3,000 shows. You've got to fight for a good room the entire time, right? And what happened was, I was in a block of offices that had been abandoned for decades. It looked like a haunted primary school, right? And you basically got two rooms next to each other where they put two shows, and they're both starting at the same time. I'd flyer my entire audience to get in that day, and then afterwards, they're sitting up in the foyer. Well, foyer, it was basically a hut bar. Yeah, so basically where you register, where you would hang your coats, is the difference. And they put alcohol there, because that's all Scottish people need. But what happened afterwards was this improv troupe came on and went, oh, are you here to see the comedy show? And everyone went, yeah, I'm here to see the comedy show at 2:30. And they went, well, come on in, it's right here. And then afterwards, like, exactly, they had a full audience. I played to two latecomers that day, right? And I went, my mate Bruce should have been here. He promised he was coming along. I was like, what happened? And it's like the first time I've ever done the solo show. I was like, oh, it's fucking horrible, right? And it's like, that's the worst it's going to be in my entire month. And then I got a text from my mate Bruce, we went, those improv motherfuckers tricked me into seeing their show. So yeah, fuck improv trips. Happily just heckle with the most obtuse suggestions possible. And they will melt on stage.
Always go with giraffe.
my show, by the way. Strewn all over the world. It's basically, I used to live here on the working holiday visa. It's mostly like longer form stories and stuff. So it's like, I got attacked by an ice dump junkie in Melbourne, which I feel is like a way to get citizenship in Australia.
Victorian citizenship.
What is it? You don't have ice dump junkies in WA?
No, you have meth.
What is it? Sorry, do you guys call it meth dump junkies instead of ice dump junkies?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've been here for 3 weeks and didn't know that reference. Clearly I'm doing my research, guys. Also, leave me alone, I'm not from here. I'm foreign. Yeah. Turn back the Scotch folks. So yeah, and then the other half is about going back home via Southeast Asia. So it's like I went through like Myanmar, Singapore, Thailand. In the last stories, I've been doing a gig in Malaysia. So it's about sort of like 20 minutes long. It's a proper story as well. It's properly fun as well. I'm close to sold out, but there's always tickets on the door as well, because the guy who ran my venue doesn't know how to count chairs.
When you say close to sold out, I mean you can fit some more chairs in.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So plenty of room for you guys.
There's plenty.
What time are you on?
6:15. It's at the Game Sports Bar, so it's like probably about 50 minutes walk from here.
Yeah,
so, you know, some of you just go, nah, fuck it, nah, never mind, done, nah, 50 minutes long, too far. Maybe 10 in an Uber if I could manage.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Bye!
And we have one more act coming up on stage for the first half of this show, so please put your hands together, make her feel warm. She's also been all over the world doing comedy. Welcome, Miss Michelle Gishbois!
Show here for the Fringe Festival. It's called 50% Canadian, 100% Crazy, Let's Laugh. My other 50% is Scottish. And my mom said, Michelle, if you don't make your shows free, no Scottish people will come to your shows. So I did make my show free. A lovely little flyer here. And who here's a Perth local, like born and bred? Yeah? Okay, fair number of you. And you know that Perth is quite expensive, right? Food, beer, all that kind of stuff. And when you're doing a free show, you don't have a lot of money to play with. So I make sandwiches for a month straight. But I'm a rock star living right here. And I was going to be bored of my normal ham and cheese sandwiches, so I think I should get an avocado, spice up my sandwiches for a week, live dangerously. I said that in Singapore a few weeks ago, and they're like, wow, that's the whitest thing we've ever heard someone say. Spice up your sandwich with an avocado. But I have Canadian over. And I get to a farmer's market, and I see that the avocado stand has each avocado listed as $4.50. And I was like, great, I guess I'm not avocado rich. Here we are. And a guy noticed one of my flyers. He's like, oh, Michelle, would you ever do a private show? I was like, what do you mean? And he said, oh, like a birthday party. And I said, oh, of course I would do a birthday party. I'm so sorry. I don't know where my mind went just there. He said, great. Would you ever do an even more private show? And I was like, oh, we're back on that train. So here we are. No, I would not do one of those shows. I'm married. And he's like, but what if I paid you $1,000? I was like, whoa. Why do I have so much dignity? Who needs dignity? $1,000? I could have bought every gosh darn avocado on that stand for that kind of money. But unfortunately, I have a good relationship with my dad. What a buzzkill that can be for the pocketbook at times. And who here celebrated Valentine's Day? I don't know if anyone you're one of those guys and you have this female that's obsessed with you and wants to have sex with you, and you're like, score, I'm the shit. But when you're a woman and you have a fan that's obsessed with you and wants to have sex with you, you just think, can someone walk me to my car? It's a totally different ballgame. And I'm not interested in super fans. Like I said, I told you I was married, but I'm away from home quite a bit. I'm doing the Adelaide Fringe after this, and I know I have needs. I know my husband has needs, but I don't think they make porn for women. I really, really don't. Good. I like that you just shook your head immediately. You know what I'm talking about, right? Because I like nerdy men. I like smart men. I like men that look like Elon Musk. But no men in porn look like Elon Musk. It's always this tan guy. He's super jacked. He's got tribal tattoos everywhere. And he's just giving it to this girl, being like, call me daddy. And I was like, I never want to imagine sleeping with my dad. I don't get the whole incest thing, but hey, it's huge right now on the internet. So a few nights ago, I'm feeling a bit horny. I think, all right, it's time, Michelle. So I log on to redtube.com, you know, really glamorous site there on the internet. And I'm looking through all the different videos. I'm like, no, 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 no. And eventually I'm frustrated. I close the laptop. I push it to the side. I close my eyes and I touch myself to the thought of my husband fucking me. And after I come, I think, did he deserve that thought? Because I have a feeling if I go into his search history, it's not going to be skinny brunette girl misses her husband. Absolutely not going to say that. It's not too early to talk about this. And we do have a rather vanilla sex life, and it's because he's a computer programmer, but hey, we're still doing it. Is there any computer programmers here? No, because they're at home programming. That's where they are. They're actually very loyal partners. I would recommend them. And it took 8 years of being together for him to surprise me with any sort of kink. Okay, so we're lying in bed together. He goes to grab something from his underwear drawer, and at the back of the drawer is a toy hidden under some socks. I was like, oh my god, Dean, is that a sex toy? He gets all embarrassed. Dean, you won't even go to sex shops with me. I know, I got it on the internet. Of course you did. He said, look, Michelle, I want it to be a surprise. And I said, no worries. He closes the drawer. Two long months go by. I've had a few drinks, so I say, honey, it's time. And he's like, all right, bend over. And does anyone want to take a guess at what it was? It was anal beads, Australia! We went from zero to anal beads, and yes, escalate quickly. So he's popping these beads. And they get bigger as they go down. But this was the first kink in 8 years, so I was going to take them all. And then he's done, right? He's done, he's finished. And guys, this next thing is kind of more directed at you. Have you ever come and been ashamed about how deep into porn you had ventured? Okay, I'll give you an example. You're having fun with yourself, I'm sure it looks something like this. You have your tabs open of increasing vulgarity, right? This guy knows what I'm talking about already. That was your last night, baby. And then when you're finally finished, you look up and you think, oh, we went down to midgets tonight, really? So Dean looks down at my butt. Okay, I've got this covered. I'm just going to plop. Oh, dear God. I'm just going to plop. Michelle, do you want to take out the beads? Are you kidding me right now? There needs to be a gentleman's agreement. of my best jokes, and I guess we gotta bring back your host. Let's make some noise!
Michelle Christine!
Michelle's done most of her plug already.
That's true. You can ask me anything. Anything your heart desires.
How many more shows do you have?
Seven
more shows. Yep. There. No excuses. Get out there. It's a free show, so
that's
definitely
true.
No excuses.
Yeah.
It makes it very hard to win free tickets too, but that's okay.
Very hard.
But that's fine. I think you're not really missing out on anything. How many festivals now have you sort of taken through? Because I've seen you around at a couple of different festivals.
Yeah, this is my eighth festival.
It's your eighth festival.
Mm-hmm.
She is a seasoned pro, as you can tell by the amount you were laughing.
Yeah, that's right.
You're
because I'm a fucking professional.
All the way over from Canada, and
yeah.
You're living in the States now, right?
Yeah, I live in Los Angeles. Don't hate me for it. I hate America for all the same reasons you do. I'm the entertainment industry, am I right?
Now, to her show. It's like, does anyone know anyone from the Western Australian?
Is it West Australian or Western Australian?
I think it's West. I don't know.
West? Okay.
West.
I'll tweet them personally.
Yeah, tweet them.
For
yeah. We all do the same. We'll add them at West Australian all afternoon. Let's roll through. There's a second half to this show.
Yes.
So you've seen all the guests. This second half goes real quick. Just a couple little, I prepared a couple little quiz questions, and each of the guests is going to pick one audience member to play for on behalf of, and that's the person who's going to walk away at the end. So we'll just bring our guests back up on stage if you don't mind, Michelle.
Come on,
you guys. You might switch your microphones.
You can clap us as we enter about now.
It's
kind of like, what happened before was just this dead noise of just us walking up, and we're like, what is this?
For you guys. There's three microphones on the side of the stage. Head over and grab a microphone. One of them doesn't have a lot of cord, and I think it's that one.
Oh, well, I tried to give you the one that was at least worthwhile and then fucked up, so well done.
I like you.
And so you guys can throw yourself across the stage.
Yep.
The length of cord that you have.
Okay. Then give us a suggestion.
See? They learned. They
exactly.
Learned.
See?
What the fuck are you going to do with a giraffe? Right, so I said at the top of the show, it's sort of themed. So, like, some of the questions are sort of themed, and there is the theme was celebrating the year that just passed, because it's the first live show of the year. It's in the way. It's the first live show of the year, and over last year and a little bit into early this year, there's been a lot of the year awards given out, and so I want to see how much we got. So there was you guys might have heard about this. There was a big Bird of the Year competition controversy.
Magpie,
bam. We're gonna give you a point, because that was the question. Who won Bird of the Year?
Magpies won
Bird
of the Year.
Bird of the Year.
That's because they killed all the other birds with how fucking aggressive they are here.
Exactly right.
Just like scratch the eyes out of eagles, just going, get fat, you can't, just straight away. Just, you know, they're properly bold, you know, just fucking.
Yeah, they are.
Give me your jewels!
There's a whole story behind how Magpie won Bird of the Year. If anyone didn't catch this, the Guardian put up like a vote, and then it was put together by it's just a fun way to celebrate something light at the end of the year, because it was a pretty tough year. And I was like, let's do this fun little Bird of the Year quiz. And then it got robo voted, like robo spammed.
The Magpies have learned how to hack. There's been talons just on computers now. They understand ones and zeros, so like fucking just.
So because they got robot hacked, all these they basically came down to three votes. Came down to the predator owl, the ibis, and the magpie. And
what's the predator owl?
That is its name. That is it's a type of
does have a cloaking device.
And long dreads as well. Yeah. And,
right, okay, guys, up your game. That my joke was mediocre. That topper was much better than the game I played it for.
I've turned
them
off, mate. It's fine. It's all fine. Basically, all the robo votes went to the and when they removed all those, it looked like Ibis was going to win. And then Dog of the Year came along, and he's like sort of commentated those illustrations. And he was like, "If we don't want the bin chicken to win Bird of the Year, you have to vote for Magpie. It is your only chance." And so that is how the Magpie got pushed to the top of the thing. Basically, it was a grassroots campaign, Bernie Sanders style. It was amazing.
Was the Magpie vote the anti-Iraq wartime vote as well? Like,
yeah, that's what it was all
if
about.
You're pissed off with the Iraq war, vote for Magpie as well.
Magpie, yes.
None of this neoliberal Irish shit.
Okay, so that was a delightful event that happened. Weirdly enough, the New Zealand Bird of the Year awards also got hacked.
Oh, what won?
I cannot remember the name of the bird that won, but I really should have wrote that down.
Was it the Kararoo?
No.
Oh, Kararoo.
No.
Has anyone seen a Kararoo before?
But I don't know how they don't win every year, because
they're
quite terrifying.
They're these, like, massively fat pigeons that are, like, just New Zealand. They're, like, protected species. But anyone who's seen them, they look delicious. Like, they look like, if you're going to pick one indigenous animal to eat, a Kararoo is definitely the one you would pick.
I can't wait for cloning. So that we don't have to worry about wiping out endangered species anymore, because I just want to taste panda. I just want to...
I'm good.
I'm the villain on stage.
Wait a minute, if they're cloned, why do you mind?
Yeah, exactly.
They're not exactly clever creatures. They bred themselves out of existence. That is not a clever creature. Like, some of the fucking dolphin. That'd be sick.
This is the only country where we eat our own national emblem.
That's right.
Like, yeah, you wouldn't find me eating a panda, but I would eat an emu jerky any day.
Emu is delicious.
Yeah.
It's illegal to kill a Canada goose in Canada. You can't kill them. You go to jail if you hurt them.
If we kill them.
Yeah, but we like, you know, we care.
That's because Canada. I couldn't give a fuck. It's the difference.
No.
As soon as they migrate over, just across the Atlantic, I'm just going to be ready with a gun.
Yeah, once you get to international borders, one of them flies far enough, we're going to take it down. Alright, so let's keep going. We've got a few more. So every year, every dictionary does the word of the year, right? So we'll go through a few of the different dictionaries and see if you can guess which word of the year that they picked. Alright, so we got. Where are we at? Which dictionary is this? This is the Macquarie Dictionary. Macquarie Dictionary's Word of the Year. Does anyone remember what the Macquarie Dictionary's Word of the Year was?
Fake news?
No, that was one of the words of the year last year.
Sorry, behind the time.
Sorry, good guess. It's a solid guess. It's reasonable.
It's such a depressing year that we can't remember what bullshit we have to remember, right?
Yeah.
Wait, is it a real word or is it a word that's trending?
It's a bullshit.
Is it an emoji again?
No, not an emoji. No, they learned their lesson.
I don't know. I feel like you're going to get the answer and I'm going to be depressed.
Yeah,
from it.
You are. Absolutely. Yeah, no, totally. That's worse than the idea of fake news being a word. Yeah. The word was quasi. Did anyone hear about this? Quasi? It's a made up word. It's 100% made up. I've never heard this word before. They made it word. Yeah. Basically, it's the idea, because of the dual citizenship saga, that basically it's someone who's like a Kiwi and an Aussie, a quasi. And I think
what kind of bird is that?
It's bird of the year.
It will be delicious. It's a protected species of Canada.
But they have to meet across the border. So.
Jeff, when you said quasi, I just thought of Quokka straight away, like as in just some sort of like
tiny cute bird.
Yeah, exactly.
It's showing itself through. No, see, I think my thought was that they were just trying to play the long game by making everyone angry and tweeting about quasi, and then the word will have been used so many times it will have been justified as word of the year, because they're just incepting us.
But also, you know, out of all the people in 2017 who need to campaign for awareness or for news stories, you know, it's those mixed heritage Kiwi and Aussie people, they get so much shit where people just have to struggle with so much racism for being Kiwi and Aussie at the same time. There's that million man Kiwi Aussie march that happened earlier on. There was like the quasi, I mean, I'm not giving the word because that was the difference. They had to campaign to just give an acceptance and titles. I feel you're not going with the political point I'm making here, guys. Is this entire Kiwi Aussie audience really going, get fucked? I had to struggle with this the entire time. I'm called a sheep fucker and a racist.
Alright, so dictionary.com, what was their word of the year?
Was it feminism?
Unfortunately, no. When you hear what they've gone with,
Anal beads? I don't know.
One year. We're campaigning for 2020. Anal beads, where are the year?
I've told so many people about them around the world. I think they're sales to start thinking about it.
Do you think we'll get commission for it?
Maybe. Definitely not. But like, I'm also hoping to maybe spread a Mountie fetish as well. A little, just peppered here and there.
What, a Mountie fetish with anal beads? Or
it could be a combo deal, who knows?
Just a Mountie of anal beads.
Yeah. Just so that my husband can see a hotter version of me when I go out on the internet, right? Because that's what porn is. It's like an idea with like hotter people than yourself.
So you want there to be like a really poorly written porn stand-up? Is that
Yeah, kind of, I guess you could be a stand-up. That's a good premise for the porn. And then it could, but it has to be a gangbang because you want her to be popular now. That's people in the audience.
Don't you just hate it, guys, when someone comes in your face? Oh.
I'm sure a lot of people do. I think you're not going to win this audience over that. We'll go. The word of the year was complicit, and it was in reference to Ivanka Trump.
Okay.
Yeah, because she's
just to her of all the people this year. Ivanka Trump. She's the one to blame, not Kevin Spacey, not Harvey Weinstein, no one else to work with her closely. Just fucking Ivanka Trump.
Yeah.
She can't even speak English, never mind being able to.
And Melania, Ivanka, the daughter.
Oh, fuck, I got the wrong one, sorry. I mean, they all look the same anyway.
What about Merriam-Webster? Merriam-Webster, where are they here?
These are hard.
And so, by the way, is it just me that knew there was more than one dictionary? Because like, I definitely got away. I thought there was, maybe at best, I thought there was Oxford English Dictionary and then Urban Dictionary.
Take a guess.
No, I didn't.
Sure you don't want to take a guess?
I mean, following the theme before, butt plugs?
No.
Yeah.
Coming one too early, it was feminism. Feminism.
Zeitgeist answer.
I'm the only one giving straight answers right now. I'm the only one who hasn't contributed to this anal thing.
I'm sure there's a big community.
The night is young.
My show's called Butt Donut, so if that was I.
Entire show is butt donuts.
It pretty much is. Anal beads is
Wait,
the second.
Wait, is your show really called butt donuts?
Anal beads.
Yes, there you go.
Anal beads is the prequel to butt
donuts. Butt donut. What is a butt donut?
You have to come and find out.
That's different. The teaser trailer.
It is.
Alright, let's just keep rolling here. So now we are OED. OED. Does anyone know what the OED word of the year was? It's another bullshit word, just so hey.
Is it an emoji this time?
No.
Oh, okay then. I don't know why I'm obsessed. I just remember one time
it
was an emoji, laughing, crying emoji, the year before. Can we get a clue on what OED?
Oxford English, you said.
Yeah, what's the clue for the word? they come back to you now, Matt, as well.
I told you, it's a bullshit word, so you probably won't guess it, so like, if you're having
No, I'm trying to give us a clue. I do want a clue.
Yeah.
Make
bullshit word is there. I mean, what is it? Because quasi wasn't bullshit enough. I mean, guys, feminist is a bullshit word. Am I right?
You are definitely on the right. Next time, sure.
Kill him. Let's do it, girlfriend.
This is keep happening.
any guesses? This is much harder than it looks. Try to think of a word.
I don't know why, I just thought French Dilly, just the gesture, spicy meatball. I don't know, I've given up. I've given up.
It's a sentence.
Yeah. No, that's fine,
the
just the gesture. To be fair, Trump has made that his gesture as well.
He has, yeah, sort of.
David Bowie, I don't know.
It's 2 years out of date, man.
Hey, he died 2 years
ago? Yeah,
he did.
Oh man, you're right. Time flies.
Well, it's amazing.
It's not too much pop, probably.
It was fake news.
Oh, really?
You've got this game, you just got it out of order. Alright, I'm going to go one last question and then we'll get out of my way. Alright,
did someone in the crowd go, as well?
Yeah,
I know,
yeah.
There's
one more.
I'm shining the turn out of the flash of the light. Just go
so this one. This one will be a bit more fun. So, Pornhub release is. It's most searched words of the year. What was the number one search?
The one top
I don't
know.
Daenerys Targaryen, maybe?
No. Anyone else want to take a guess? Keep guessing.
Kim Kardashian.
No.
Paris Hilton. Maybe
that's it! 10 years out of date!
She's coming back, I'm telling you guys.
It's
I'm calling it.
There's like porn nostalgia is what you're waiting for as well.
Vintage Paris.
The number one search result for Pornhub 2017 was Porn for Women. So, you know, empowerment. Feminism got in there, so we're going to be out. Porn for Women got in as the number one search.
They have some improvements to make.
Yeah. I think it was more of a question.
Porn for
Women.
That's true. Yeah. You're right. I think,
yeah.
Sounds good.
All right, cool. Well, we've only had one correct answer, so I think we can announce that. And he's up.
You actually said three
times,
so just
normal. Pick someone from the audience and I'll get the contact details later. But they can get free tickets for all our shows or whoever shows they want to see. And thank you so much, guys. Thanks for coming out. There is one more of these tomorrow at 4 o'clock. But please thank all my guests.